Hey everybody, welcome back to Moscow. Welcome back to the Moscow Mules. We're delighted to be here. Myself and Augie, man with the plan. You know, he kind of is, reminds me of, remember when the dog pulls back the curtain in The Wizard of Oz and it reveals, not really The Wizard of Oz, just some sort of goofy dude who knows the numbers, pulling the levers. Yeah, that's Augie. And where will we start this week? Well, come on, it's all about Europe. It's all about Russian assets, but it's also all about the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, Vladimir Vladimirovich, the boss up the road here. Yeah, yeah. Okay, FSB, how was that? Good, yeah. You know, he made a comment. Now, if you look at Western media, right, Augie, every day there's someone calling Vladimir Putin a vampire, a murderer, a killer, Hitler. You know, you name it, a pedophile, a fucking baby peeler, whatever. If you can find the most grim, horrendous insult that can be made against a human being, the Western media, Western leaders are queuing up to compete with each other for how badly they can insult the Russian premier, the Russian president. But he makes one comment, right, Augie? And the comment he made was basically, I think it means little piggies. He said, the little piggies in Europe are running around, you know, doing their thing. And there's a huge, you know, a blow up in the Western media. How dare he, you know? Now, the word he used was, Augie, podvinki.
Podsvinki.
Podsvinki. I'm still, you know, my Russian isn't 1,000%, you know? Run the video.
Все полагали, что за короткий период времени Россию они разрушат. Развалят. А европейские подсвинки тут же включились в эту работу прежней американской администрации.
The literal translation of the word подсвинки means little pigs that are under. So originally the word comes from the, you know, village folk, which means like little 3 to 4 months old piglets.
The piglets, sucking on the mama's titties.
Yeah, but really, when you talk this word in modern, you know, in a modern language, what you should imagine are those little green pigs from Angry Birds.
Ah, little gremlins, little nothing burgers. Now, this, would you believe, amidst everything that's happening in Europe, can you imagine farmers burning down in Brussels, you know, the EU failing completely to steal Russia's assets. This is what is preoccupying the Western media. And it is in the Western media, right? Augie, let's play a little bit of our favorite little game, a little bit of headline ping pong. I think I'll begin, and I'm going to begin with the Wall Street Journal. Kremlin leader called European leaders backing Ukraine piglets who wanted to feed on Russia's collapse.
Here's Financial Times for you. Vladimir Putin predicts European swine backing Ukraine will lose power.
And then Politico arrived. Here we go. This is the latest from Politico. This is a political analysis. Putin calls European leaders little pigs. They just compressed it down. No context. Forget the fact that 55 countries have been trying to destroy Russia. They're actually openly talking about it. They even have a map. Check it out, right? A map of how Russia's going to look when they rip it to pieces, steal all its oil and gas. And he calls them little piggies. I think he was quite kind. I know what I would have called them. So why they completely melt down about Putin calling them little piggies? And they are little piggies anyway. He's kind of right, right? Let's remind ourselves of how some US presidents. Now, you know, the big Don, he kind of treats Putin with a bit of respect, right? He does occasionally say, you know, I'm so disappointed in Vladimir. Vladimir is letting me down. But he does respect him, the office of president. And I think President Putin has been very respectful of all these little piglets who, up till now, he's called our partners in the West. People sending, you know, hypersonic missiles towards Moscow. Our partners in the West. I think Putin's been too soft on these motherfuckers. Now, remember Sleepy Joe Biden, the man who got robots to sign, who didn't know what day of the week it was, he used to fall over before he stood up and stand up when he fell down. Yeah, an absolute clown world leader. Let's have a little reminder, Augie, of how he used to talk about the president of the Russian Federation. Elected 80% of the people here in Russia, by the way, love this guy. Yeah, oh, I know you don't like that. Let me repeat that. Over 80% of the people here in Russia support Vladimir Putin. Hey, and I'm one of them. Right, Augie?
Oh, we're going to melt our audience.
Run the video.
A murderous dictator a pure thug.
Now, you might remember, right? Talking about things people say, people
in power,
people
in
significant positions of influence.
You said, you know, he doesn't have a soul.
Millions and hundreds of millions of people are watching these guys, right? Got to be careful what you say. And Vladimir Putin actually kind of apologized today, right? He did his big marathon press conference today here in Moscow, like, you know, hundreds of questions from all over the Russian Federation, from all over the world, actually. Journalists can come in, no scripts, you can ask what you want, really something else. Imagine a Western leader doing this stuff. Now, he kind of said sorry, and he kind of intimated that, you know, it was almost locker room talk. Now, you remember somebody else talking about locker room talk, right? Now, the big Don, before he got elected, imagine this, said he was going to grab him by the, what, Augie?
By the cat.
Grab him by the cat. Meow. Right? And he got away with it because he said, that's just locker room talk. I think, Volvo up the road here, it's kind of saying the same thing. Remember, he was talking to the Russian high command, Gerasimov, all these tough guys. These boys are kind of living in trenches and dugouts, in Donbass. You know, these are tough boys, you know. So he kind of was using a bit of, let's say, military code words for people. Maybe just a little bit. But it's interesting. Run the video, Augie.
As for that definition, it just sort of popped out during my interaction with the military audience.
Yeah.
I didn't have anyone specific in mind. I never get personal. I never allow myself anything like that. I meant, in general, a group of people.
He's clearly apologizing.
Kind of, yeah. You know, he's a real gentleman. Now, let me tell you one thing. Considering the amount of grief, pressure, lies, Vladimir Putin's had cancer like, what, 25 times? He was a fake. He wasn't even himself. Then he was had veiny hands. He was going to die. Then he fell out a window. Look at all this. But he looks very, very healthy to me, you know? He's actually telling Russians, go to bed early, get up early, work hard. Everything will be just fine. So when you're talking about Vladimir Putin, you're talking about a statesman, you know, a man with military training. Worked in the intelligence services, speaks several languages, an intelligent man, as we saw when he gave his little lesson, small lesson on history to Tucker Carlson, remember that one? Yeah. He's a man who's very, very knowledgeable about Russian history, military history. He knows how to address people. You know, he's a great speaker, a good orator. And, of course, who is he up against in Ukraine? Similarly trained statesman, Rogi. No, he's not. He's up against a cabaret artist, a dancer, a singer, a guy who made his money in Russia, you know, dancing around with his cock out, playing the piano. Talking about statesmen, talking about the big Don and Vladimir Putin, Mr. Zelensky, on his begging trip to Brussels, he's talking about the big Don. He's talking about the man who's given him probably a couple of $100 billion, right, Augie? The Americans?
He gave them javelins, remember?
He gave them javelins, yeah. And what does Zelensky say? What thanks does the big Don get? I wait for him to die. Basically, I wait him die. When he die, maybe we get another Joe Biden back. Money start to flow again. Second, golden toilet, no problem. One video, Augie.
Brilliant diplomacy.
The United States
have a horrendous
policy. They don't see us in NATO. For now. Everything
for now.
In our lives is for now. Maybe the position will change in the future. Maybe somebody will come to realize that strong Ukrainian army strengthens NATO, not vice versa. Politicians change. Somebody lives, somebody dies.
Uh-huh.
It's life.
Last time it was in the ear, but, you know, next time.
Yeah, so he's basically waiting for the big Don to snuff it.
I'm not even sure he's waiting.
Hey, a quick note off camera.
Mm-hmm.
The last two dudes to try and shoot the big Don.
Pro-Ukrainian, yes.
Just saying. Third time's a charm. Well, I think we should stick with the interview theme. We've seen a Russian one there, you know, Vladimir Putin asking questions, all these journalists, you know, lots of questions. What about a Ukrainian interview, Augie? You know, what are the ingredients you need for a Ukrainian interview? Well, you need a stooge Western media platform, Deutsche Welle, France 24, BBC. Let's take the BBC, okay? Because they never make it up, right? Yeah. Okay. So you got the BBC. Then you need some Ukrainiac Nazi, probably, you know, put him in front of the camera, let him make some shit up in a bunker somewhere. And then you need some set dressing. Augie, what would you suggest to have just right about here if you're going to interview a Ukrainian Nazi? What would you put up on the wall?
I'd say, Che, if you want to really show that it's about democracy, liberation,
freedom,
and high culture, remember, it's us who are stealing...
Gay rights parade, too.
Yeah? A giant Nazi eagle would fit.
Yes, I think so. Why not put a big Reichsadler, yes... Ilya will explain what a Reichsadler is from Wikipedia, which was stamped on every piece of Nazi equipment, every weapon, every uniform, everything. The Reichsadler, the Reichs Eagle. That's what it means in German. It's a Nazi symbol. Now, they might replace the actual swastika with the little Ukrainian trident, but that's what it is. It's a Reichsadler, and it's on, in the video, as you'll see, a OUN, you know, sort of UPA black and red flag, which was the flag that flew in places like Babi Yar, Voyin, as these murdering savages brutally killed tens and tens of thousands of people. Poles, Hungarians, Jews, Russians, all went into the pit. It's brutal stuff. And what's the BBC do? Yeah, let's have a look. Run the video, Augie.
And the Ukrainian people, the Ukrainian army. That is why we are doing this, to prove we're still strong.
I mean...
No, okay. No, put it back.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to turn it off. Sorry, guys.
mein Liebling. Now, meanwhile, in Brussels. Now, sticking with the Nazis, what an unpleasant bunch. And imagine sort of platforming people like that. I mean, in no reality could you do it. Like, you'd never vote not to ban Nazism in the UN, right? Oh, yeah. let's move on. Let's move on to the Center of Freedom, Democracy, Liberty, Gay Rights Parades and Family Values, Ukraine. And in Ukraine's educational system, there's no platforming, right, Augie, of radical, nationalism, brutalizing, minorities. It's all very balanced and very lovey-dovey. Not. We're going to play a video now of a Ukrainian school where the children are being forced to fall to their knees to basically pay homage to some dead Nazi, basically, while the teacher rants and screams at them. Now, we're not suggesting for a minute that every Ukrainian, even soldier, certainly not in Ukraine itself, where there's a huge diaspora of people, Russians, there's Ukrainians, there's Hungarians, there's lots of different types of people living in Ukraine, and only a very small, disproportionately influential and powerful minority of them are actually Nazis, but they're very influential. And they're the very people who whisper in old Vladimir Zelensky's ear, no territory to be given up in Donbass, just keep killing the poor people dragged off the streets. Yeah, but when this sort of influence, this disproportionate influence gets into schools, education, into the Rada, into the parliament, this is where it ends up. This is not AI, this is not made up by us here in the Moscow Mules. This is a real video of Ukrainian children. Very disturbing stuff. Run the video, Augie. Wow. I mean, that is what? That is Germany 1930, right? That's exactly the same that happened.
It's more like Germany 1945.
Now, one of the most bizarre things about the whole neo-Nazi thing in Ukraine is Western Ukraine is the kind of nest. That's where they, as we say in Ireland, there's a nest of them in there, a nest, right? So that's where the nest of the neo-Nazis is. It's kind of in the west of Ukraine, right? Agreed, Augie?
The further you are from front line.
Yeah. Now, what's also bizarre is those same neo-Nazis in the Second World War collaborate the Nazis to kill Hungarians, Poles, Romanians, and Russians, right? They were killing people, right? With the SS, the 14th Galician Division. So those people are now in those countries, particularly Poland, are the biggest fans of the Ukro-Reich, right? They're giving them weapons, they're giving them money, and they're giving sort of refugee status, if you'd like to call it, to lots of Ukrainians, right? Augie has found evidence of the terrible condition that many young Ukrainian men have had to, deal with. I really feel bad about this. I'm trying to hold back my tears. Augie, please, run the video and show these poor viewers the evidence of this terrible poverty that these Ukrainians are living in Poland.
О, курва. Тут і невольно парковувати самохода. Попрошу перепарковувати самохода. Є українець.
Вау. So this is, what kind of car is that, Augie?
This is Lamborghini Huracan Performante,
ooh,
which costs from 250,000 euros to 400,000 euros.
Loose change.
In Ukraine, yeah, with Ukrainian average salary, that's like change money.
And these Ukrainian kids are hanging out in Poland, avoiding the draft, doing whatever they do. Daddy's probably a minister or something. You know, you run out of money, you just take the lid off a gold toilet, sell it, melt it down. It's all so tough for the supporters of the old Ukro-Reich. So as we head towards 2026, you know, we wave goodbye to 2025. Kind of soon, we're going to have our little show, our little special. We're going to do our awards, right, Augie? We're going to have the you know, idiot of the year, jerk of the year, liar of the year, fraud of the year. Problem is, we're wondering how Zelensky doesn't win them all. But anyway, we'll get to that later. The EU and its leadership, it's poor old hapless Friedrich Merz. You know, he's kind of come to define the idiocy and the stupidity of the EU, right? He was 100% behind stealing Russia's assets. He's been 100% behind flooding Ukraine with weapons. Ukraine's losing the war. The deal didn't go through on the assets. He's also very, very upset that you can no longer count on Pax Americana. Pax Americana. What? Pax Americana. You know, which is, you know, Pax Americana, American peace, which was basically after the Second World War, after, you know, Frederick's grandfather and his friends destroyed Europe. Let's not mention that, Augie. Okay, let's talk about Pax Americana. Let's give out about the Americans no longer supporting us in our stupid, unwinnable war against Russia. And let's blame the Americans for being anti-peace. But old Fred is unhappy, right, Augie? He's very unhappy with the Americans, particularly Mr. Trump, for the terrible crime of actually looking after America. How dare you? As one of my little Swedish friends would say. Yeah, run the video, Augie.
I will come back to this in the context of foreign and security policy in a moment. But dear friends, the decades of Pax Americana are for us in Europe and also for us in Germany largely over in Deutschland. It no longer exists as we once knew it. And nostalgia won't help us here either. And I would be one of the last people not to gladly indulge in such nostalgia. But it doesn't help. The fact is, the Americans are now pursuing their own interests very, very assertively.
Look at this guy's head. He looks like an alien. This is one of those aliens. You know those green aliens with the funny eyes? He's got an inverted egg head.
Che, more and more we do this show, the more I'm getting convinced that we live in simulated, crazy-ass caricature reality. An egghead moron controlling that what used to be a powerhouse of Europe, a peace winner that's calling for military invasion, and a Jew being the president of the most wild Nazis you could imagine.
Check. We need one more check for Uber Clown Ward level.
Maybe keep it for the next year?
I know. A British prime minister who everybody hates, who secretly is banging rent boys from Ukraine?
Check.
Now, Augie, of course, if you're going to start a war with Russia, right, the most battle-hardened, biggest army in Europe, biggest nuclear weapons arsenal in the world, the most lethal method to deliver those nuclear weapons. Now, of course, let's get this absolutely straight. The Russian constitution forbids Russia to ever use nuclear weapons aggressively. They can only be used to defend the country, right? So let's get that straight. Russia's not going to bomb anybody with nuclear weapons. It's an uber insanity of the fruitcake brigade, the Ukrainians, right? Now, but when you want to start a war with them, okay, with those countries, while saying Russia cannot even finish the war in Ukraine, they can't even take us on Donbass. How come you're saying that they can't take the Donbass on one hand, and on the other hand, you're telling us that they're going to take over the world? How does that work? There's a name for this stuff, and the name for it is Russophrenia. Okay, it's Russophrenia. And it was actually a term made up by a friend of mine called Brian MacDonald, who's an Irish journalist too. He coined it back in 2015, ages ago. Russophrenia, the belief that Russia is collapsing and taking over the world at the same time. We are in the midst of the grip of Russophrenia in Europe. Right, Augie?
Absolutely crazy.
So, as the Russophreniacs prepare for this phantom war of distraction with Russia, they're never going to start a war. Who's going to fight the war? Nobody wants to die for the little, Fuhrer in Kiev's next gold toilet. No one wants to do it, right? And you need people, right? And in Germany, in particular, the ex, industrial heartland of Europe, now at all, collapsing economy, the latest Mercedes, I believe, has a Chinese engine in it. Yeah. What does that tell you about the economy? Now, don't say that. Don't say that. Yeah. The latest Mercedes has a Chinese engine. Yeah. Game over. GG, well played. Augie, you need people. The Germans don't have enough, right?
You're right, Che. They do need people, but the problem is the numbers don't make any sense. Bundeswehr is planning to have around 200,000 reserve forces by 2035. And, right now, in Ukraine, there's around 2 million people fighting just in Ukraine. So 200,000 is not going to be enough.
Yeah, and by 2035, I love this stuff. There's a calendar somewhere in the Bundestag. Oh, that is the what is that calendar for? That is the calendar that tells us exactly when the Russians will attack us. They will attack in 5 years' time on the 1st of April, 2031. How do you know that? Who told you that? Nobody told us. We made it up. Why? Because we need to distract from all these immigrants and all the stabbings and the people driving lorries through the Christmas market. We have to make some up. But nobody's buying it, right?
Maybe if they do it on TikTok, they will buy it.
Maybe if they do some cringy, cringeworthy clown world TikTok videos. All the young people in Germany, who, by the way, whose grandparents didn't say to them, we will never fight another war again. We completely stop. Tell all the children, no more war. And what are we doing in 2025? We must rearm. The Russians are coming. Yeah. But the young people will not fight, grandfather. Yes, they won't until they see this TikTok video. Jawohl. Jawohl. Run the video, Augie.
Oh. Come on. Did it.
Damn.
Memes.
Kaboom.
Dancing videos. High energy edits. This isn't an influencer brand. It's the German military trying to recruit Gen Z.
Yes, Rico. Kaboom.
Hat gerade wirklich unser Militär das gepostet.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Nobody wants to die for the microfuhrer. Nobody.
But NAFO told me the whole internet is boring.
Yeah, NAFO also told you that the Europeans were going to get a ton of Russian money. How'd that work out? And it kind of all is defined, really, by the sort of collapse of European credibility. Right, Augie? It's just nobody respects these clowns anymore. Nobody cares. Let's have a look at a video that Augie has dug up from the dustbins. It kind of defined. Now, this is a very viral video, right, Augie, in China, okay? But nobody watches stuff from China. Yeah, that's because there's nobody in China. It's a tiny economy, a very small population, and they don't have the biggest navy and military on earth in about 2 years' time, right? So let's forget about what's going on in China. Yeah, it's the attitude in the West, yeah? Have a look at when Mikrolian visited China and brought, his bodyguards along, and usually they would be strutting their stuff, but they ran into, let's say, Mr. Xi's bodyguard, and Mr. Xi's bodyguard decided to, what would you say, Augie, put the French man in his place? Uh-huh. No, 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 my darling. Yeah, ooh, kind of cringy. Run the video, Augs. So, Augie, tell us what's going on here.
So, as you can see, there's two bodyguards behind, the white one with a crown and the Chinese one. And look at him, he's telling him off like a boss.
Stay back.
The French tries to stand his right, but he just pushed off.
Uh-oh. So it's kind of a bodyguard off. Is that a thing? A bodyguard off, Augie?
I think nobody respects those, nor their bodyguards.
Okay, do you ever have any tension when you're out with your bodyguards?
Well, my bodyguard is my cat, so, it's kind of working out.
So we're going to stick with the French theme, okay? Mikrolian and his darling wife, Brigitte, okay? This drama that's been rolling on in the sort of conspiratorial, non-conspiratorial, I don't know, for me, I kind of don't get involved. Is Brigitte Macron a man? Augie?
You know what I think, Jay? We can't say here at Moscow Mules if Brigitte has a penis or not, but I think we can definitely say that none of the European leaders have any balls.
Well, we know that Brigitte may not have a penis, but we certainly know that the European leaders have no balls. And what we're going to look at now is another friend of mine, a man who's a huge fan of mine, Piers Morgan. He hates me. Piers, you know you actually love me. You know, it's not, you know, come on. Unblock me on X and come on, ask me on your show. Do it, you know, you won't regret it. Mr. Morgan has interviewed Candace Owens about this very subject, right? And it was kind of like cringe, car crash media. It's like, oh, Jesus, get the popcorn quick. It's like when you see those neighbors who, never talk to you, never say hello, and always had a nicer car than you, and whose kids always did better at school. When you finally see them naked in the front garden on Christmas Eve beating the shit out of each other, it's just get the chairs over here, put the popcorn on, let's watch this whole show meltdown. And there was a bit of that about this, right, Augie?
I love this, and I love Candace.
Well, I think she's, I don't know, I've kept out of it and I'm staying out of it. Run the video, Augie.
And I think we're going to see the same thing with Brigitte Macron and you, is that he was weaponizing deliberate lies for money. And I think you
Brigitte
did that.
Brigitte Macron has a penis. I really want you to know that. Brigitte Macron does not have a penis. Brigitte Macron has
no,
a penis.
No, she doesn't.
I'm sorry.
She had three children.
Did she get it removed?
She had three children.
Yeah, you can have adoptive children. You can call somebody. But Brigitte Macron was born a dude named Jean-Michel Trogneau.
Well,
and I just feel, I want you to know that. I want you to know that Brigitte Macron... probably.
How does she know he has a penis?
The beauty is
we have a big bet.
I think Brigitte stands.
And we're going to find out because he's going to court. Mm-hmm. And, you will lose that court case. I think you know you will.
Yeah. Does anybody believe that Candace Owens will win the court case? What is going to happen? Is Brigitte Macron going to have to stand up and drop her skirt? How does it work? Guys, anyone at home watching on X, online, on... Can you please explain to Augie and I? Right, let's have a... How do you find out does Brigitte Macron have a penis competition? So, sticking with the theme of whether any European leaders actually have balls in their trousers, or penises for that matter, we're going to take a little hop, skip and a jump down into London, where Mr. Starmer, the Starmer Fuhrer, Starmageddon, the memes are out there, was sitting on a talk show. And again, there's an element of uber cringe about this. There's the Starmer Fuhrer sitting among all these middle-aged women. The show is called Loose Women. It's kind of popular in the UK, where a bunch of, postmenopausal women sit and bitch and moan about stuff. It's kind of like when you go to a christening and all your aunties and your wife's friends sit around. You know, it's just terrible. No, I don't mean that. I love when that happens. Sorry. Now, the subject matter, while the Starmer Fuhrer is sitting among all these menopausal women looking like some sort of lost schoolboy.
I mean, Che, he does look like a menopausal woman as well.
He does look like a menopausal woman. But I thought we were getting away from the Brigitte Macron thing and the gender stuff. We don't do the gender thing here, Augie. There's two genders and hundreds of mental illnesses. I've told you before. So, the British Prime Minister sitting among the menopausal women, looking like a schoolboy and being given out to by these women, that's Trump. President Trump, who we kind of like, right? Compared to Starmer, I mean, Trump and Starmer, I mean, Trump all the way. Trump at the barbecue, Trump beside you in the, long-distance airline ticket, Trump trapped with you underground. We're Trump all the way. Imagine being stuck with Starmer. My Christ. Yeah. Run the video, Augie.
There are many people across the country who don't know somebody who's been subject to abuse. It is really difficult.
Well, you know someone very close, one of our closest allies, shall we say, recently used the language quiet piggy. Would you allow someone to speak to your daughter, your wife, your colleagues, in the way that Trump spoke to a female journalist?
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, good.
I absolutely wouldn't.
And would you class that as misogyny, and would that be something you would be looking at?
I would call it out.
He would call it out.
I would call it out. Like you called it out when Trump called your mayor of London, your best friend, a useless piece of right in front of you. And what did you do? What did he do, Augie?
Said nothing.
He did nothing. He's a... no balls. Damn it, I did it again. This obsession with balls and penises, it just seems to be the theme of the show.
Anything to distract you from Nazi salutes.
Now, of course, there's the Sturmfuhrer making a fool of himself defending Donald Trump, who is our ally, from these, you know, libtard women saying that it's Sturmfuhrer's fault. It's just utter bullshit. There is a darker side right now in the UK, you know, and anybody watching in the UK, all of our viewers in the UK, and a lot of you are in the UK, realise the cost of living, crime, the complete decay of society, of the diminishment of the family. You know, it's really, really a dangerous...
I know, Che. Rape capital of Europe.
Yeah, the rape capital of Europe. You know, immigration. Stop the boats. Nobody stopped the boats. While all of this is happening, the Uber distraction must be rolled out. Roll out the Uber distraction machine! And what is it? You get a stupid, toffee-nosed old British general who's in command of the most dilapidated British army in hundreds of years. The British Army and the British Navy are in the worst state they've ever been in. Nobody wants to join it. Nobody will join it. The ships are basically rusk buckets. There is no capability. The British could fight a war for maybe 10 days, according to Anthony Beaver, a very well-respected historian. Wrote a great book about Stalingrad, check it out. They have no army, but they do have a ton of problems that they need to distract from. Roll out the general, Loggy, and what's the general saying?
Sons and daughters of Britain, it's time to die.
Kind of reminds me of the French asshole we had on here a couple of weeks back, Loggy, right? Mm-hmm. Same script, different accent. Yeah, run the video, Loggy.
Most obvious impact on all of us will be the cost of building this resilience.
What is this evil?
Sons and daughters, colleagues, veterans will all have a part to play, to build, to serve, and if necessary, to fight. And more families will know what sacrifice for our nation means.
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Now, of course, what exactly are all these Nosferatu impersonators in uniforms in the UK and France and everywhere else talking about? What we need to sacrifice. So you'd imagine that if Europe was this beautiful place, this nirvana, right, where everything was wonderful, you know, it was safe and beautiful, and everyone was skipping through the meadows, like in glorious Ukraine, the center of freedom, democracy and liberty, you know. It's all such bullshit. What exactly are people meant to die defending? Does anybody have any idea? Has anybody asked this question in the European Parliament? Excuse me, sir, what exactly are we supposed to die for? Maybe it's to die for the right to say, if you're in Italy, sleep in a cemetery because you can't afford the rent. Maybe it's the right to get stabbed on the train in London. Maybe it's the right to not be able to see a doctor for 6 weeks in Ireland. I don't know what you're going to die for, but at least if you're in Italy, then you can always find a place to put your head down. Yeah, literally in a cemetery. Run the video, Oggy.
Per chi non ha dove dormire, anche il cimitero diventa un rifugio.
Ad esempio, qui si vede che c'è un sacco a pelo.
Sleeping in the
tombs. Un loculo in alto, quindi le persone arrivano usando una scala da dentro.
You know, getting ready for the World War III.
Succede in una delle città più ricche d'Italia. A raccontarlo al quotidiano La Gazzetta di Modena, una signora che faceva visita ai defunti, ma per chi
offre
nell'accoglienza la situazione è nota.
Vengono a mangiare da noi, vengono a lavarsi.
What a scream, isn't it?
It is grim, but it's also funny because, you know, they're preparing to, you know, to hang out with the death.
So you're pre-deceased.
Yes.
So at least, you know, it's like kind of some parts of Ireland and the UK right now. If there is a Russian nuclear strike, the place, if you look out the window after the strike, it'll look exactly like it does today. Now, as you see, people sleeping in cemeteries, you know, in the UK, British people on waiting lists for healthcare, homes, Ireland, everywhere, immigration, crime. It's just going to shit, okay? That's not Kremlin propaganda, is it, Uggy? You've got to ask yourself, how can people be sleeping in cemeteries, living under bridges, and at the same time, the European Union decided just basically today to hand 90 billion euros of these taxpayers, the people who are suffering this idiocy in Europe, they're going to have to give the narco-fuhrer $90 billion euros more, probably 110, 120 million $1 billion. It's absolutely insane. And if you have a look on the streets of Belgium, while Brussels, while these European elites over their five-star lunches were sitting in very swish surroundings, having this meeting with their waiters on beck and call, five restaurants, you know, in their limousines. Out on the streets, the farmers of Europe were burning, burning the place down. Because guess what? The EU had a brilliant idea, the Mercosur deal. Let's flood Europe with cheap Brazilian beef, you know, corn, soya beans, maize. That's exactly what Europe needs right now. Millions and billions of tons of cheap Ukrainian grain, which is basically all robbed and stolen and sent in corruptly. And then let's flood it with the Brazilian too. Yeah? So while the ordinary Ukrainian is sent to the front line, the ordinary European is robbed. And who makes the money? Who in the golden toilet? Yeah, it'd make you absolutely puke. Anyway, at least somebody still has a pair of balls in their trousers. See what I did there? Brought the balls back in. And that's the farmers in Europe. They still know what side the bread is buttered on. Run the video, Augie.
It's pretty fierce fighting, too. These policemen, they're not very democratic with those protesters.
Oh, yeah. Of course, if this was Moscow or Beijing or Tehran, this would be front page news all over the world, right?
Yeah.
The client media would have this elevated to tragedy status, the collapsing state. And this is the center of European liberty, freedom and democracy.
And look, they're throwing throwing bottles. At some point where they were throwing potatoes as well.
Now, when the protests were over and the smoke cleared, the debris was left on the streets. The EU elites failed in their attempt to steal 210 billion euros worth of Russian assets. Complete failure for von der Leyen, for Merz, for all these lunatics who said, we have to take the money from the Russians. No, it didn't work out. So they're going to steal it from ordinary European taxpayers instead. Now, note this final video of the show tonight, because it's very, very important. It's very symbolic. Imagine this video that you're about to watch was filmed in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how many memes, how much sort of energy would be put behind this defining the collapse of the Russian Federation. This video wasn't filmed in Russia. It was filmed in Brussels, the capital of the European Union, the capital of the failed EU project. Check out these ordinary Belgian citizens. It's really, really quite prophetic. It's quite sad, actually, to see Europeans crawling around on the streets, picking up potatoes that were thrown at the police hours before and bringing them home to feed their families. That's the reality in significant chunks of the European Union today. This isn't Russia. This isn't Vladimir Putin. This isn't Kremlin propaganda. This is the reality that Europe has inflicted on itself, the price of backing the dictatorship in Ukraine to the very end, to the last Ukrainian, yeah, also to the last potato. Run the video, Augie. This is just iconic, right?
Nothing defines European garden more than
There's nothing wrong with these potatoes, right? This is, I'm not criticizing these people, but imagine.
I mean, they're potatoes taken off the dirty street, but you gotta eat, right?
Slava Ukraine. So that brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Moscow Mules. You know, we love making it. We love having you along. And we actually believe it's a very important show. And why is it so important? Well, Augie and I were talking about this earlier. And we believe and we think that many wars might have been prevented if things like this were available. If we had had the internet back in 1938-39, maybe people would have said, hold on a second, we can see what's going on. And all it takes is one person to shout loud enough to expose the truth about the reality. Just like the TikTok videos in Germany, just like the reality in the UK, nobody wants to fight these wars of distraction. And we think we've got a job to do in making sure we give you the whole unedited truth. You know, our side of the story, the side that is routinely oppressed in the mainstream media, we're going to keep shouting from the rooftops. And hopefully you're going to come along and join us. And maybe we'll be, you know, further and bigger and higher and stronger in the next number of months as things change. Who knows? But even if they put the foot down harder and harder on our necks, we're just going to squeal louder and louder. We hope you're going to come along for the ride. Until next week, same time, same place, from Augie and I, it's good night, God bless, and mind yourselves.